Morning. It's good to be with you today. Good to see all of you that are out with us, and greetings to all of you that are watching online. We hope everybody is well. This morning we want to take our lesson from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and we can call this Childhood Memories of a Wise Man. In Proverbs chapter 1 through 9, we find that Solomon is pleading with his children to seek after wisdom. And certainly that's the theme of Proverbs, is wisdom. And so there's a collection here in Proverbs, and it's probably one of the most favorite books of most people because it's so practical in its instruction. And there's lots of discourses here that illustrate what wisdom is and certainly what foolishness is in contrast to wisdom, and a lot of great things that we can learn from this collection of writings here. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, we find that Solomon is sharing recollections of his childhood. And of course, Solomon's father was David. And David certainly is a great example to us in many of the things that he did. And certainly David knew to make wise decisions. He didn't always make wise decisions, as none of us are perfect in the things that we do. But interesting thing here is that Solomon is recalling the good instruction that David is given to him, specifically exhorting him to seek after wisdom. And so we find some important principles here that are especially good for us to remember on a day that so many people are thinking about fathers and thinking about the responsibilities that fathers have. And me as a father, it's something that I need to think about as well. And those of us that all of us have fathers, but we can or have had fathers, and we can think back about the good things that we have enjoyed in our life at the hands of those that try to guide us. And so this is a really great collection here in these verses of what Solomon remembered were the good things that were taught to him by his father. One of the primary things that fathers need to do is just accept the responsibility that they are a father. Accept the responsibility of what it is that they are to do. And so he starts out in verse 1 and says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instructions. Be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live.'" And so you see here that he accepted the responsibility. Unfortunately, many fathers do not accept the responsibility of being a father. And they do not teach their children in the way that they ought to. But here what we see is that Solomon remembers that his father took that responsibility and said, "You need to listen. You need to listen to the words that I have to say. You need to keep the commandments." And certainly we see in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 tells us that fathers are not to provoke their children to anger, but to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Many times, fathers will leave this responsibility to somebody else. They may expect the mother to do that, or the schools to do that, or teachers to do that. And certainly, we are glad when we have good teachers in our schools and good examples in other places that help us. When Ethan and Brendan were growing up, they got a lot of instruction from their grandparents and their grandmother in particular. As the stories that she told and the Bible scriptures that she shared with them have remained with them. And so when you have a whole family that is participating in those things, that's a great thing. But specifically here, Solomon is saying, "My father is the one that instructed me. He's the one that took me aside and told me what it is that I need to do." Paul told the Ephesian brethren that the fathers had a responsibility. And he didn't tell the fathers, "You just need to be there. And if if the mother can't handle it, then you need to step in. Now, he said that you need to do something. You need to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And that's exactly the history of what we see with God's people. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, we see instruction here. And it tells us that God's words are to be communicated by families. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. What do we usually do with something that we want to remember? You know, we might put it on the refrigerator because we go to the refrigerator a lot, right? We'll post it on the refrigerator, or we'll put it on a mirror, or we'll post it in the cubicle at work, or we'll do something that this is to remind me of something that I need to do. And it may be a scripture or a verse that reminds us of our responsibilities. And what the writer here in Deuteronomy is saying, Moses is saying, these things are to be primary in your life. You're to write them down. It's to be like it's written in your heart. It's written between your eyes. And it's like it's a sign that's bound to your hand. And write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The point there is that these things are important. They need to be taught, and they need to be prevalent. So God's Word is to permeate your household. And it's something that families and fathers need to accept as a responsibility to do that teaching. And what happens when fathers fail in this regard? Well, 1 Samuel chapter 2 tells us that Eli is one that failed to correct his sons. And so when we look at the Scriptures, and particularly, you know, if you're doing a quote, Father's Day lesson, there's no famine of the Word to look at, because there's so much instruction that helps us to understand our responsibilities. And we have examples of good fathers. We have Noah, who was able to save his whole household. We have Abraham and others that we look to as examples of good fathers. And then we have some examples ones that failed to do things that they should. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22, it says, "Now Eli was very old, and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And he said to them, 'Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all these people. No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear the people of the Lord speaking abroad. If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for them?' But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of the Lord to put them to death." And if you go to the next chapter, in chapter 3, verse 10, who did the Lord hold responsible for the sons? Of course, the sons were responsible for their own behavior, and Eli pointed out that the behavior was bad. But the Lord was expecting Eli to do something about that. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10 says, "And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel,' and Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.' Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the ears of everyone who hear it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken against his house from beginning to end, and I declared to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming and he did not restrain them." So God told Samuel, "I'm about to do something, everybody's going to know about it, and they're going to know why it was done." And so that's very sad commentary on Eli. We see Eli being a good mentor to Samuel, but not such a good mentor to his own sons. And so that responsibility there, clearly God expected Eli to restrain his sons, to do something about them. One of the more interesting things that we usually mention when we talk about fathers is in 2 Timothy when we are we're introduced to Timothy's grandmother and mother who had a role in his upbringing. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelled in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. And conspicuously absent is the mention of Timothy's father. Did he have an influence? I'm sure he had an influence, but he didn't have. We're inferring that he didn't have a godly influence, or Paul would have mentioned him too. But this faith came from the women in his life. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, how by childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And so it certainly is a blessing that children have mothers that will provide spiritual upbringing when the father is absent from that equation. But clearly, the instruction that we get here from Proverbs is that David was teaching Solomon. And Solomon remembers the instruction that he got from his father. And it's certainly instruction that we need to heed as well. So Solomon was taught by his father, and that's one of the greatest gifts that a father can give to a child. And so another thing that we see here that Solomon mentioned is that he was taught while tender. Verse 3 says, when I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother. So what does that mean? When did this teaching occur? It occurred when there could be an influence. When his heart was tender, when he was young and impressionable and open to what the father has to say. I don't know if you've noticed, but as kids get older, they get a little more obstinate, don't they? They start thinking more for themselves and they get a little bit more rebellious. And if you don't instill respect when they are impressionable and when they're more open to what it is that you have to say, the teaching often occurs too late. When the child begins to question everything that the parents say. And certainly, you know, we see that and time gets away from us. And good parents often wonder, have I done enough? You know, have I lost the opportunity to do the teaching that I should? The point here is that Solomon says the teaching began early. It was when he was tender. Long before they go to school, and where peer pressure and poor behavior can encourage them to disobey authority. Many times when kids will come home from school and they may say something or repeat something that they heard, you know, what's the first thing we ask? Where did you hear that at? Where did you pick that up at? Because you didn't pick that up here. And so what you hope is that they're impressionable enough that they behave somewhere else the way that you would expect them to behave at home. That if they respect mother and father and respect their siblings, then they're going to do that when they're out in other places. And certainly that's not always the case. But if the training doesn't happen early in life, when is it going to happen? It's going to get more and more difficult. And so we need to instill that in our children. Teaching by the father needs to occur when the child is still in a position to be shaped and directed. And what we also see here in Proverbs is that Solomon says, I was taught by a concerned father. You might say by an anxious father in a good way. That what you see here is that there's some urgency and some concern in the things that are said. Verse 4 says, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, do not run away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake, and she will keep you. So you get these things, don't turn away, don't forsake. So you get the urgency and get the concern that the father has. Is there a reason that parents should be concerned for their children? Yeah, there's all kinds of influences out in the world, and we want them to be prepared for that in the light of so many things that we see happening today, you know, with violence and immorality and the attitudes that people have that are not godly. You see this urgency that Solomon says his father had for him. And so, where are they going to learn that? They're going to learn that preparation in the home. They're not going to learn it in the schools. They're going to learn the opposite many times of what you would have them to learn. So fathers need to be concerned for their children. What do you do when you're concerned about something? You take time to address it. You take time to teach your children. You take time to pray for wisdom in raising your children. You must be willing to sacrifice. Maybe sacrifice success in the world. And sacrifice what may be considered to be prestige in the business world to spend time with your children. So do we have the kind of concern over the welfare that we should have over our children? Another thing that we see is that Solomon taught his children, Solomon remembers him being taught the important things. He was taught to value wisdom and understanding. We see in verse 5 that it says, "Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth." Getting wisdom and getting understanding. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, he says, "The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight." So he wants his psalmist says, "My father wanted me to get insight, to love wisdom, to get understanding," and we see that throughout this whole book as a theme is wisdom versus foolishness. And what do you want? You want wisdom. You want to love wisdom. Verse 8 says, "Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland and she will bestow you a beautiful crown." And that's talking about what wisdom does for you. Wisdom is going to give these things to you. Wisdom has benefits, and I want you to appreciate the benefits of wisdom. That's what the Father's trying to get across. Solomon's father wanted him to be wise above all else, and of course we know that's what he got. And so why did Solomon end up asking for wisdom? He had been instilled with that desire from his father. What do we do sometimes? Well, we stress things that may seem really important, that are really trivial compared to wisdom. You know, whether somebody is good at sports or mechanics or in college or getting a high-paying job, you know, these things are a big concern for a lot of people. But is it the most important thing? I can remember many times when I was vacillating about what it is I was going to do and what I wanted my career to be, and of course, you know, a lot of times, if you're like me, we ended up doing something that we never thought we would be doing. But the instruction that I always had from my father is whatever you do, do it like a Christian. And of course, that rules some things out because there's some things you couldn't do and do like a Christian. But that was the primary goal. You know, whatever it is that you do, do it in service to God. But there are many things that in the world that are potentially harmful, that present a lot of temptations, and people can be destroyed because they didn't get the encouragement to put God first. They got encouragement to put their career first, put the schooling first, or put their money first, or whatever it might be that took the place of God. Don't stress the trivial, parents. Parents should not be stressing the things that are not primarily important. So, it's really never hard to do a lesson on fathers, because, like I said before, there's so much good information in the scriptures. And if If you want to find instruction for fathers, you should just look throughout the whole book of Proverbs. You know, what we usually do on Mother's Day is we turn to Proverbs 31 and talk about the worthy woman. And any time that you're talking about a godly woman, Proverbs 31 comes to mind. But I heard one preacher, when he did a lesson on fathers, instead of the Proverbs 31 woman, he did the Proverbs 1 through 30 man. Because, you know, there's a lot of things there that men need to put on. We need to put on wisdom. The ease in talking about fathers, you know, comes from having good examples that many of us, you know, look at in our life. And I'd just like to share a few things from my life at the close of this lesson. I asked Jarell the other day concerning her father. You know, I said, "What's one thing about your father that stands out to you?" And 15 minutes later, she had told me at least 10. But, you know, I understand that. That's a hard question. You know, what's one thing about a parent that stands out as remarkable or really makes you appreciate what they did for you growing up? But I'll tell you a few things about Cheryl. Most of you know him, and right now he's not in the condition that we would like him to be. He's not the person that I remember and was so helpful to me in the earlier years of our marriage. He's bedbound most of the time now, but I think back about how helpful he was to us, and I appreciate the things that he did for me, and in particular, if I had a question about the Bible, I always enjoyed being able to call him up and ask him his opinion on something. But what Jarell said, when I asked her, what do you remember in particular about your father growing up, and she said that he was always helping somebody. What a great thing to be able to say about your parent, that they were always quick to help anyone who needed it, to take time out of their schedule. And, you know, I can remember several times that as a family we had vacation plans or some kind of plans with the family, but there was something else that came up with Cheryl's spiritual family that he needed to take care of, that he deemed more important than the fun that we were having at the time. And so there was part of that annoyed me because it interfered with our plans, but there was the other part was I respect the care and concern that you were showing to others, because this is probably not what you would rather be doing. You would rather be having fun yourself, but you have a responsibility to others and a love for others, and so you're going to interrupt your schedule to go and help someone else. And so that's something that a lot of people don't do. You know, they're more than willing to help someone as long as it fits their schedule, as long as it's something that's not going to inconvenience them. And so I've always admired that about Cheryl. Cheryl also said that he told people what they needed to hear. He preached it in season and out of season. And so telling people what they need to hear is not always the most pleasant thing. But he also had the ability to do that in such a way that people still liked him, even when he did it, that he approached those things in a gentle way. His speech was seasoned with salt. And so even if he was having to get on to you about something, you knew that he cared for you and was doing that out of love and concern for your soul. Never timid, but never pushy either, was the expression that Jarell used. Never timid about sharing the gospel, but never pushy about it either, and therefore he had a good relationship and was able to influence lots of people. I asked my mother about her father, Delmer Caulfield, who passed away years ago, and I certainly remember this about him as well, but his patient and calm demeanor was something that that was really the, I won't say it was the opposite of my grandmother, but they were different people. And she was not the most calm, but she was a little more boisterous, but he was calm, cool, and collected at all times. I don't think I ever heard him raise his voice, but he was an excellent person and an elder in the Lord's church, and had a great deal of influence, and a lot of people still remember him. As far as my father goes, the things that I remember about him, and when I read the book of Proverbs and think about his instruction, a lot of the instruction that is the most important is what we see in someone else. It's not necessarily what's told to you, but it's what you see in the example of someone else. My grandfather, my dad's dad, passed away when I was young, and I don't remember a whole lot about him except what I've heard. And he was a very good man, and but he was also a very stern man. And he, at times, could be harsh and impatient, even though he did try to serve the Lord all his life. And my dad worked very hard not to be that way. Because it's very easy sometimes for us to, if we have an example in our life that may not be something that we want to follow, it's hard for us to put those things aside. And my father knew that his father was impatient, and he tried not to be impatient with us. One of the things that stands out the most for me when I think about my father is the time when he lost his temper with me, and he came to me, and I was very young, he came to me and asked me for my forgiveness. And I can remember it just like it was yesterday, what I was doing, where I was, because I was shocked. You know, here's my father I've probably done something to set him off. I've done something to agitate him, but he felt like he got over agitated and came and apologized to me. So that has always stuck with me. And I've tried to do that in my own life when I have maybe said something that I shouldn't have said or reacted in a way that I shouldn't. Go to my kids and tell them I was wrong. And my father would do that. And that, I certainly remember that. When I asked my mother this week what was the one thing that comes to her mind when she thought about my father as a father, she said his work ethic. And that certainly true. You know, when you think about preachers, sometimes people don't think preachers work real hard, but my dad did. He worked very hard. In fact, there was a man that came to where we were living for a gospel meeting and spent all week with my dad, and he went home and told one of his relatives that I don't intend to ever work that hard. You know, everybody that knew my dad knew that he was entirely focused on the gospel and teaching it to others. When Ethan went off to Florida College for the first time, he came back and said, "Your dad is famous." And I remember when I went off to FC, and we were going through the line and meeting faculty, and my roommate Mike Tomley was with me. And after we got through with what was going on that evening, Mike said, "I'm going to make you a shirt that says, 'Yes, Frank Jamerson is my father.'" Because everybody that I met asked me that. And I tell you, it annoyed me. At the time, I wanted to be Randy. You know, I didn't want to be Frank Jamerson's son. But, you know, I came to appreciate that. What did my father leave me? He left me a good name. He left me something that wasn't tarnished. He left me something that means so much even to this day. And you know, he's been gone for a while. I want people to remember him, and I want to be associated with him. One thing that my brother Alan told me this week when I asked him, what do you remember? He said, I never heard him argue with Mom. He said, I never doubted their love for one another. He said, I know that they had disagreements. He said, but I didn't see it. And so he said that's something that is real glue in the household is a mother and father that love each other. So when Solomon looks back on his childhood, he's obviously got some good memories. He said, I was taught by my father. I was taught while I was tender. I was taught by a father that was concerned about me. I was taught the important things. And because Solomon's upbringing stressed the value of wisdom, we're not surprised at what we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. It says, in that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, what shall I give you? And Solomon said to God, you have shown great and steadfast love to David my father, and have made me king in his place. O Lord, let your word to David my father now be fulfilled, as you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people, for who can govern this people of yours which is so great? He did what his father said. He chose wisdom. And God blessed him with that. God answered Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for possessions, wealth, honor, or the life of those who hate you, and have not even asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may govern my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge granted to you, I will give you riches, possessions, honor, such as none of the kings had who were before you, and none after you shall have like this. But David instilled that in his heart. It's a wonderful thing that Solomon sought after wisdom. One final thought, if I can say it, because I've shared something that my brother said and my mother said, and my brother Byron, I texted him and asked him, what do you remember? And he said, he showed us how to live and how to die. He chose, because of his situation with his cancer, that it was not going to be successful to be treated. He chose not to treat it. Byron said, sometimes you just have to live by faith and let God handle it. I'll tell you, I was not happy that he made that decision. There's so many people that fight this. You've got to fight it. But he didn't. He didn't fight it. He made that decision that he would rather have quality of life rather than quantity, having the side effects of the treatment. So he chose no treatment. Why could he do that? He knew where he's going. He knew he's going to be okay. And you know, Byron just really got me when he texted me back and said he showed me how to live and how to die. And what a great thing that a child can say about their father. That's what you want your child to say about you, is that they showed me how to live and how to die. And we have, you know, such good wisdom here from the book of Proverbs that teaches us, fathers, how it is that we ought to encourage our children and see the good effect that instruction had on Solomon. I hope these things will be useful to you, and that we can all have good memories of those that brought us up, and that we can instill, you know, good things in the lives of our children so that they'll be faithful to the Lord. If we can help you in any way this morning to be obedient to the gospel, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.